السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa, we were discussing fitnas of our times, and alhamdulillah, with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, we have discussed many of those fitnas. Then last week, one hadith sharif of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to mind, which I mentioned is a waz of 9 seconds. My Hazrat Shaykh says that it is a waz of 9 seconds. Just in 9 seconds, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam gave us a whole ocean of knowledge. That hadith sharif, if we have to discuss, we can go on and on, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُوَدِّينَ. When you make your salat, consider it to be the last salat of your life. The person who is making goodbye or wishing goodbye to this world, how he considers every action to be his last action. So like that, all our ibadat, our zikr, our tilawat, and all our dealings, everything, we should consider it to be the last action of our life. And nobody would like the last action of his life, especially I'm talking about Muslims. I'm not talking about those who don't believe in Allah and in the Akhirat. But those who believe in Allah Ta'ala and in the Day of Judgment, in Qabr, in Jannat and Jahannam, in life after death, then they would not like that the last action of their life should be an evil one. Any one of us, if we are told that this is the last action of your life, what would you like to do? You will say, I would like to make 2 rakat of namaz. Even the person who does not frequent the masjid, if he is also given 2 minutes to do something for the last time in his life before he leaves this world, then he will say, give me the opportunity to make 2 rakats of namaz. It shows that that is the desire in the heart of the person, that before he leaves this world, his last action should be a good action. Therefore, I am repeatedly saying this, that since none of us knows that which action is going to be the last, so let it not be a sinful one, let it not be a haram one, let it not be an evil one, not it let be a one that is displeasing to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There are so many things Allah Ta'ala has made halal. If a person is eating food and he has to die, nothing wrong there, no sin. He was doing something that was halal and permissible. So much so that even if the person entered the toilet, according to the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if he entered the toilet with his left foot, before entering the toilet he recited, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. He followed the sunnat procedure. And then if he has to die in the toilet too, is nothing wrong. Sometimes people get very worried. A person in the month of Ramadan, in a state of fasting, an elderly person, he went to the toilet and he collapsed. And then he passed away. He was just trying to come out. He had his one leg out and he passed away. So the people began to talk about that as if something very bad and evil had happened. Whereas that person, he was fasting, it was month of Ramadan, and he entered the toilet in the sunnat manner, and it just happened that at that part of the time his ruh went. So we have got no right to condemn that person. What we are talking about is evil action. The person is in zina, the person is glued to some filthy program, the person has got a filthy novel or magazine in his hand, the person has got some check that he's signing and he knows it's a fraudulent signing, or anything that is haram and sinful. So stay away from there, because we never know, that could be the last action. I explained this at length last week. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that don't say anything for which you will have to ask for forgiveness. You will have to apologize. You will regret. You will express regret that why did I utter such a word? Why did I make such a statement? And thirdly, whatever Allah Ta'ala has blessed people with, then don't have high hopes on what is in the hands of people. Have hopes in the treasures of Allah Ta'ala and seek from Him. If Allah Ta'ala wills, then He will give how much He wishes to give. And according to His wisdom, He will give. But this person must have qanaat, he must have contentment. Now that hadith we had discussed. Now I was thinking of proceeding with this fitna ash'ar that we were discussing, the ash'ar in which the fitnas of the time have been discussed. But since we discussed that 9-second hadith last week, so another very, very short hadith comes to mind, which is only of 5 seconds. Only of 5 seconds. Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asks Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Man najat? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, tell me, how can I get salvation? How can I get najat? That was their biggest concern and worry, that how can we get najat, salvation, freedom from the azab of Jahannam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam could have given him a lengthy waz, a 2-hour bayan. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives him a 5-second waz. If you have to say it quickly, it takes 5 seconds. Amlik alayka lisanak. Control your tongue, that is what it means. That you must be the master over your tongue. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Amlik alayka lisanak. That this tongue of yours, you must be the master over the tongue. The tongue must not become your master. You must be controlling the tongue. The tongue should not be controlling you. That is the meaning of it. We know that the major cause of most problems is the tongue. If we have to discuss that, it requires a lot of time. Inshallah, we'll discuss it in detail in some majlis. I have been discussing some aspects of it. But here in this hadith sharif, just look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's wisdom and kamal. That he says, Amlik alayka lisanak. That this lisan of yours, this tongue of yours, you must control that tongue. You must be the master over this tongue. Now how would a person be a master over his tongue? A person who has a slave. Those days were days of slavery. So the slave had no right of his own. He had no real rights. He was treated in any way that the master deemed fit. Of course, there was a lot of abuse and there was a lot of zulm that was made on the slaves until Islam came and regularized and slowly brought about the freedom of all those slaves. But the fact is that the master controlled that slave. The slave had no desire that he could fulfill. He couldn't say that this is my right, that I should be given food at certain time, that I should be given so much of salary or pay, that I should be given these type of conditions to stay in or live in. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came and Islam gave them rights, but the slave of those days did not have any kind of rights. So whatever the master desired and wished, he had to fulfill. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Amlik alayka lisanak. He could have used some other word, control of the tongue. There are many other words could have been used. But to use this word that become the malik, the master over this tongue, you should be the master, shows that it should be under your complete control and subjugation. Because if you are going to fire bullets with this tongue, then they're going to cause a lot of harm and damage. So many cases of talaqs, why do they take place? In anger, the person just fires away, talaq, talaq, talaq. And then they go around searching for fatwas to make the 3 into 1. But we tell them we don't believe in Trinity. Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost and Son of God all in one, we don't believe. 3 will remain 3. So if the person had control over his tongue, he would not have fired such kind of bullets. So So many statements have caused serious rift between husband and wife. Statements made by the wife or by the husband. Whereas if the husband controlled his tongue and did not make a statement of that nature, swearing or cursing her parents, cursing her, then there would have been no rift. For that little while there would have been that pressure upon that person to control the tongue. But if he controlled those statements, then after a few minutes it would have all died down. In the same way, if the wife did not backlash at the husband, if the husband said something and the wife did not straight away start condemning him and his grandfather and his whole lineage and family, then there wouldn't have been a big fight. So that fight starts because the tongue is not under control. If the person exercises control over the tongue, then we will not have these type of arguments and fitnas and fights and quarrels. It's a fitna of the time where the person has got no control over his tongue. So many statements are made, and afterwards these statements haunts the person. He tries to withdraw, but he has already injured the heart. Now the injury that has been caused on the heart of the person will say, I make you maaf. Okay, you ask me for forgiveness, I make you maaf. But from the heart, it doesn't go quickly. The heart is not in the control of the person at times. And he forgives, but still that feeling that was there, that happiness to see each other and that unity, that all is shattered. So it is because of the miscontrol of this tongue. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, just in this one statement, he has given us a great lesson that many, many fitnas will subside, many fitnas will not even come about if only the person exercises control over his tongue. There are many hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam about the harm of the tongue. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when one sahabi asked him, what is it that you fear most with regards to myself? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam pulled out his tongue and he said, this tongue. The mafhum of another hadith, majority of the people that will go to Jahannam will be because of what they have said with their tongues. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, you guarantee me that you will take care of your tongue and that you will not commit adultery or fornication, that is the meaning of that hifazat. So then I guarantee you Allah Ta'ala will give you Jannat. So many other hadiths with regards to the control of the tongue. And this is what is causing tremendous amount of friction and disunity in families, between friends, husbands and wives, parents and children, because the parents are saying certain things which reach the ears of the children. The children are saying certain things which reach the ears of the parents. The husbands are saying certain things which reach the ears of the wives. And the wives are saying certain things which reach the ears of the husband. They say it to their friends, but somehow it reaches the ears of the husbands. In the same way, in family members, that there is a gossip that's taking place on the table, at the marriages, at the weddings and the walimas. And we think that that person is not there about whom we are gossiping. But afterwards that is conveyed to that person. That your sister was saying this, your brother was saying this, your uncle was saying this, your brother-in-law was saying this, your uncle-in-law, sister-in-law, mother-in-law was saying this. It reaches the ears. After that it creates enmity, hatred, dislike, disunity in the heart. And then it creates great amount of rift and it goes to such kind of fitnas that finally sometimes it ends up with shooting cases and murder cases. So it all starts off with the tongue. It's just like shaitan, when somebody saw him in human form and asked him, when that buzrug asked him, that why do you cause so much of mischief? He says, what mischief do I cause? They blame me for nothing. I hardly do anything. He says, come, I will show you what do I do. So he went to one sweetmeat shop and took a little bit of the syrup, and he put it onto the pane, the window pane. So he said, well, that's all I have done. I've just taken some syrup and put it on the window pane. After a little while, a fly came for the syrup. Then a lizard saw the fly, so it came for the fly. A cat saw the lizard, so it jumped for the lizard. A dog saw the cat and jumped for the cat. So the window pane burst. Now the owner of the shop got very angry and he started blaming the owner of the cat and owner of the dog. And the fight began and finally there was a murder. Then the families got involved. And so he said, what did I do? I just put a little bit of syrup there. So that is what most of us do. We just put a little bit of syrup there with our tongue. And after that the whole battle begins. But if we only exercise some control over the tongue, we see where we are sitting, to whom we are talking, and what we are talking, then we won't have this problem. If there is a problem with someone, then talk to him directly. Talk to him directly that this is what I have heard. And if somebody has mentioned something, then clear it out same time. Clear it out whether the person has really said that or he hasn't said that. Because if it is a lie, then we will be blameworthy. Many stories that reach our ears are not the truth. The person said something else, and what reached our ears was something else. And afterwards we take it for granted that that person did say that about me, and we get angry and annoyed. So ask that person directly, did you say this? If you said it, well, I make you laugh, but it is not the truth, this is the truth. Say it and forget about it, if we want to clear it. But do not make statements immediately upon that statement that we have heard, start making other statements that will lead to more fights and more quarrels. This is how we should go about our affairs. It will bring peace in our lives. Because many people, that is their habit, to carry tales from here to there, and make people fight and argue and quarrel. So we should be careful in the exercise of this tongue, because it is going to lead to the fire of hell if we do not exercise caution. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in that 5 second was, the first thing he said, Amlik alayka lisanak. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has given 20 fitnas of the tongue. 20. And he has given details of it, that what harm this tongue can cause. But at the same time, it is such an instrument Allah Ta'ala has given us, that we can accumulate the maximum amount of rewards with the same tongue. To talk a good word to somebody, to make recitation of the Quran Sharif, to make zikrullah with this tongue, to recite the kalima, to speak the truth, to make waaz and nasihat, to talk cheerfully good things with the children, with the wife, with the family, with friends. So many things you can do with this tongue. The person becomes a Muslim, he recites the kalima. So the tongue itself will be the means of the accumulation of large number and great number of good deeds, and at the same time it can be very dangerous. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Amlik alayka lisanak. Wal yasa'aka baytuk. That Amlik alayka lisanak, 1 second. Wal yasa'aka baytuk. Which means that your home, try to remain within your home as much as possible. Now this nasihat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving to a sahabi of his. At that time there was plenty of need for jihad, there was plenty of need for dini khidmat and service and dawat, there was need for attending the waaz and nasihats, and there was need for so many other things. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling him that your home, try to remain within that home as much as possible. He just said remain within that home. So what does it mean then? What it means is that if there is no need for you to go out of your house, then don't go unnecessarily. And especially in our times, we say it must be relevant to our times. So in our times, it is far more relevant that we remain within our homes as much as possible. We do not go out without real necessity and need. Person is going out to do business, it's a necessity. The person is going to the masjid to make namaz, he is going for waaz and nasihat and for programs of deen, he is going out for dawat and tabligh, the person is going to visit his family members, he is going to visit the sick, he is going to see the doctor, he is going for anything that is necessary. Even if he is going to a park to go and breathe fresh air and take in oxygen, there is a need for it, the person is going, there is nothing wrong with that. What we are saying is that unnecessary trips into town, which people like to make, and we all are in the same boat, unnecessary trips. There's no need for it, but just to take what we term as window shopping trips. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is warning us more than 1400 years ago that these type of unnecessary outings, curtail it. Don't go because you will get caught up in fitnas. That is what he was trying to get at. That the fitnas outside will be so intense that no matter how much that person will try to restrain himself, but he will get caught in some fitna or the other when he is going to go out. Out of necessity when he goes, there's still fitnas. But at least he went out of necessity so he can make tawbah, istighfar for the shortcomings and weakness. But when there was no necessity, the person goes. And especially in our times when there's so much of hijackings and murders and killings, to take drives at night, late night, past midnight, they're taking drives into town, going to the beachfront and going here and going there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is warning us more than 1400 years ago. He says that let that home of yours suffice for you. Another meaning of that which is given is that no matter how small your home, you must find it to be sufficient and spacious. That the person who will have Allah Ta'ala in his heart, the person who will have Allah Ta'ala in his heart, then even if his home is small, Allah Ta'ala will make that small little home of his suffice. That means his heart, Allah Ta'ala will give him such kind of expanse and wideness that he will find that small little home of his sufficient. Although Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself taught us that we should make the dua, I've mentioned it many times, that what connection has wazoo got to do with spacious home? But yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us that after your wazoo, then you make dua. Allahumma ghfir li zambi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. That, oh Allah, forgive my sins. In other words, the person is saying that, oh Allah, I could have washed away the sins from my hands and from my feet. The minor sins when the person is making wuzu. I'm talking about the minor sins. As he's washing his face, his hands and his feet, then all of them wash away. He says, but how am I going to wash the sins of the heart and of the inside? So therefore he's asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, forgive my sins. Whether they're outward sins or inside sins, major sins or minor sins, oh Allah, forgive them. And when he's asking for forgiveness, then it means that he's also going to fulfill the rites of tawbah. Whatever is due to people, he will pay. Whatever harm he has caused anyone, he'll ask for forgiveness. That's what it means. So he's making dua for forgiveness after wuzu because he's going to be making namaz. That is understandable. But immediately after that, oh Allah, give me spaciousness in my home. My home, make it spacious. He's not asking for lavishness. He's not asking for lavishness. We must not misunderstand it. Those who are spending millions of rands just furnishing their homes, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not talking about that. He's talking about spaciousness, big rooms, comfortable accommodation, so that when the person has family members coming, visitors coming, then he can entertain them, he can accommodate them. So he's asking for spaciousness of home. Because when the child is going to turn 10, or in fact from the age of 7, we should try and separate the boys from the girls, the sons from the daughters. Now you will have to then afterwards separate the rooms. Now if you don't have a room, what are you going to do? Then separate the beds at least. But the thing is that if the person has got rooms, then he will say, well, one room my daughters can sleep, one room my sons can sleep, one room we can sleep, and one room for visitors. So he's asking for spaciousness. That is not only permissible, in fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us to ask for that. And also Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, wa barik li fi rizqi, because if that person is going to have a big home but he doesn't have money, how is he going to pay rent? If the person doesn't have barakat in his rizq, look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's duas also are mu'jizat. We couldn't have even thought of duas like that. That he's asking for barakat in the rizq immediately after asking for spaciousness of home. Can you understand the link between the two? That the person has got a big home, now visitors are coming, they said, well, where should we go? They said, so and so has got a big home, let's go there. We'll go and sleep there. But now that person has got karki in his house. He hasn't got anything. He's got no business running. So what is he going to do? So he's asking for barakat in the rizq and sustenance, that, oh Allah, provide for me also abundantly, sufficiently, so that when I have this big home and I get visitors, I get family members, I get friends coming, then I can entertain them, I can feed them, I can accommodate them. So it's a beautiful dua. So I'm not denying that, that there is a necessity for it, there's a need for it. But at the same time, every person will not be able to have that kind of a home with so many rooms and such kind of accommodation. In the early days, sometimes a person is not able to afford such kind of accommodation. When I look back in the early days in what kind of conditions we lived when I returned from India, I can't believe it that we went through such conditions. But nevertheless, now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has provided sufficiently is His ihsan. But what I am saying that sometimes a person may not be able to have that kind of accommodation, but yet in that one or two rooms that we lived, large number of people that used to pass by the town where I was teaching, they used to come and they used to put up there. Sometimes in that one room 20 people used to sleep, because there was no masjid sleeping and there was no accommodation of that nature. Everybody passed by there. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave so much of spaciousness in that little house. So what I am saying is that when you are going to have Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in your heart, when you have Allah Ta'ala in your heart, then Allah Ta'ala will make even that small little home of yours spacious, that you will not feel tight and narrowed. Outwardly it will look very small, but yet Allah Ta'ala will give such spaciousness in the heart that the person will find even that small home spacious. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his statements have got deep meaning. So one meaning is what I am giving you is that, and that is the which is relevant to us, is that without any need, without any necessity, don't take unnecessary drives into town and doing window shopping. Because what is going to happen is that many of those people who go window shopping, or it is our desire, the moment we see some advertisement in the newspaper, we want to go and see. As soon as some advertisement comes from some chain store, from some big supermarket, or from some company, then there could be just one little item that we are in need of. One little item. But now we are going to go and visit the whole supermarket from A to Z. So what is going to happen, and it is happening, so many people are complaining that my wife takes my credit card and after that she goes to town shopping and then I have to pay interest on it. So I ask them the simple question, then why do you give her the credit card then? If that is the problem, then why give her the credit card? Ask her what you require, give her that much money, go and buy it. So this is what will happen, that if you give somebody credit card and say go to the supermarket and buy whatever you want, or go to the chain stores, whatever they've advertised, go and see whatever you need, then they're going to go to town. So two things will happen there. One is, now these are all relevant things. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam even taught his sahabas how to use the toilet. When Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked that what kind of a Nabi is that, that was of yours, that he even asked that he teaches you all these little things. He said, yes, he even taught us how to use the toilet. To show that he was a perfect Nabi. That the perfect father and mother are those who teach the children every little thing that they will be in need of in their lives. What kind of a mother is that who does not teach hygiene to the child? What kind of a father is that who does not teach manners and adab to the child? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was like a father to the ummat. So anything that would have caused them harm, he informed them about it. And we have taken all these things out of from our life. We only know that ibadat means namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, that's ibadat. But when it comes to adab and akhlaq and muasharat and all these things, we have taken it out of from the dictionaries of Islam. Now look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's wisdom and look at his love for the ummah. Who is he trying to protect and who is he trying to save? Not himself, it's us. And he does not want us to have any kind of hurt or any kind of pain without any justification. Now the poor person who saw some advertisement, or the person who is not poor but he does not really need those things, now he goes. So what will happen is that he will end up buying a lot of things that he does not really need. Then it will end up with debts, payment of interest sometime on those transactions, sleepless nights, people chasing behind for their monies after that. And what has the person really done? Bought lots of things that were not necessary. One person said that if you do not have the money to buy meat, he said, if you don't have the money to buy meat, then it is better that you just dream of the butcher. So you rather just dream of the butcher, but don't buy the meat. So that is better. If you don't have it, don't buy it. Buy vegetable, eat something else. Even if you eat dal every day, nobody is going to chase you out of your home. But come down on the standard of living, and especially these large wedding and marriage parties and functions, we have to curtail that. It's not going to help us in any way. It's not going to help the community in any way. It's creating such amount of problems. And the majority of those nikahs, I haven't seen them lasting. That is the fear also. A very massive nikah took place in another province, not here. I won't mention names, so you won't know which one it was. According to an estimate, they said that at least ₹1 million was spent. And just after 1 week, I was dealing with that case. Just after 1 week, the wife discovers that the husband is on drugs and is on this and it sells and finished, not interested. So where did the money go then? All to waste. But that is something different. Now here we are talking about that let this home of yours contain you. We should find our homes to be comfortable to spend our time in if we haven't got any work outside. Spend it in reading good literature, listening to good tapes of qiraat, of naats, of waaz and nasihats. Talk to the children, talk to the family. But the sad part is that now what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned was to save us from the fitnas outside. So we said that instead of going outside, because it's very dangerous, so we rather bring those fitnas inside. Because it's dangerous outside. When they say there's storm outside, so what should we do? There's stormy weather, and very cold, frost. So what must we do? It's the best thing, buy 2-3 extra videotapes. Because how are we going to pass time? So the person used to normally watch one, now he buys 3. Because it's stormy weather outside. Now that is not what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is referring to. Then that will bring more restlessness in the lives of the person. Even inside his home, it will bring more restlessness. So we all understand what it means, that to protect yourself from the fitnas outside, and there is no question of bringing those fitnas within the home. Those things which are causes of fitna within the home should be taken out of the home and out of our lives. And the third thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned in there, أَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُكَ وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَتِكَ. Yes, I was talking about that. When the person is going to go, either he's going to end up purchasing a lot of things which are not necessary, or he will end up with some fitna that is taking place in the town or in those places which he is going to visit. Or thirdly, if he is unable to purchase those items, then it will cause him a lot of burn inside his heart. He will see the rich people purchasing and buying all those items, and inside his heart he will now get a burn. Jealousy will come. Malice will come. Or the person will just be crying over his taqdeer, that what a condition I am in. Look at these people, they are buying all these things from here and I cannot even purchase ₹100 worth of items here. So then what was the need to go there? If he's going to go window shopping, then so many things they will come into his heart. I wish I had this, I wish I had that, I wish I had that. So we must not consider this to be a insignificant nasihat, na'uzu billahi min zalik. It is coming from Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I am telling you this because we are all in the same boat. Many a times we take many trips which are of no real value, nothing. So let us make a good niyat. If the person wants to go also, let there be a good niyat behind it. Make a good niyat and go, then it will be beneficial. And then return home as quickly as possible. And we will come back again to this hadith, inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life and an opportunity, because each item there you can discuss so many things. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَلْيَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطْوِيَتِكَ. and cry over your sins. Your mistakes, your errors, your weakness, your shortcomings, your faults, cry over it. Shed a few tears of repentance over it. Now look at the nasihat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave this sahabi just in 5 seconds. Amlik alayka lisanak wal yasa'aka baytuk wabki ala khatiyatik. Just 5 seconds it took. But what an ocean there is in it. That you are a human being. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving us the nasihat that we are human beings, we will make some mistakes. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would not have mentioned in the Quran Sharif the ayats of Tawbah if man was not going to make any mistake. If there was no mistakes that man was going to make, then what was the need for the ayats of Tawbah? Why should Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala say that ask of me, pray in this manner? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so many hadiths of his on Tawbah and on istighfar. It shows that we will make some mistake, some error. But as I have repeatedly said, that as Muslims, our mistakes should be mistakes. Our errors should be errors. Our sins should be accidental, and accidental means accidental. You do not plan an accident from the morning. What do we mean by accidental sins? Does a person plan accident from the morning? Unless he's gone off his head or he wants to commit suicide, then he will plan an accident. Those are the only two people that will plan an accident from the morning. The person is planning that I will go and stand in front of the, I will stand in the on the railway line so that when the train comes it can take me away. So now that person wants to commit suicide. So his intention is evil. But we are talking about sane Muslims whom Allah Ta'ala has given intelligence, aqal. So that person does not plan an accident. We don't say from 11 o'clock in the morning that when I drive in the afternoon back home, then I want to meet up with an accident. There's enjoyment and fun in it. Have you heard of anybody saying that what enjoyment I will get if my skull cracks and if my bones break and if my body has to smash? What enjoyment, what fun there will be. Nobody will say that. The person will say that I don't want to meet up with an accident. I want to drive as carefully as possible. I don't want to anybody else to bump into me, and neither do I want to bump into somebody else. That's the intention of the person. He's got that firm intention. Now whilst driving, suddenly he was distracted by some billboard, or he was distracted by some other car that was on the side, or by somebody that was standing on the pavement, or something happened. Or that person hadn't slept well for the night and he suddenly dozed off and he met up with an accident. So now we will say that's an accident. So that person now must go and have his car repaired, go and have it panel beaten. But not that person who is planning the accident from the morning. Now this is our weakness, brothers. Take it seriously. This is our weakness. How many of us in our lives, this is our weakness, that we plan this accident of sin. Our sins are not accidental. It's planned. We call it accidental, but it's not accidental. It's planned. The person who has purchased a cinema ticket from the morning and is going to go and visit it in the evening, so that can't be accidental. The person who has got an arrangement made with his illicit love that I will be meeting you at a certain time in the evening, and then he goes and meets her at that part of the time, so then that is not an accident. It is planned from the morning. In the same way, the person who is addicted to some TV program in which some filth is being shown, and the person from the morning has planned that at night, 11 o'clock, this film is going to be shown and I will see it. So at 11 o'clock when he's switching it on, that's not an accident. So a Muslim and a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his sins are accidental. Accidentally, just on the spur of the moment, nafs and shaitan overpowered him and he committed the sin. So immediately that he realizes that this is something wrong that I have done, then he sheds tears of regret and remorse and repentance. He cries so much that even the angels begin to weep. And we must not think that the angels cannot weep. We believe in whatever Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said. Look at the Sahabi of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A Sahabi of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, late night, tahajjud time, he gets up and he is crying and he is crying. Why is he crying? He says, what made him cry? is that he is asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection from the fire of Jahannam, protection from the azab of Jahannam, and he's crying. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him that you made the angels weep tonight. Another person was crying, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abi Rawaha radiyallahu ta'ala an. He was crying so much, his wife asked him that, why are you crying? So when the wife saw him cry, she started crying too. She doesn't know why he was crying, but she also started crying. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abi Rawaha asked her that, why are you crying? She said, whatever makes you cry makes me cry. That was the kind of love that the husbands and wives had in the time of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the wife is not even asking him that, what is it that is making you cry? That whatever grieves my husband, whatever hurts my husband, whatever causes injury and pain to my husband, and if it makes him weep and cry, then I should be also one that should cry with him. And the same with the husbands, that whatever made the wife weep and cry and hurt her or caused her injury, then the husband was also hurt. Unlike in our times, that I have heard with my own ears, when one wife met up with a smash, she went with a car and met up with a smash, and she broke one leg. So this husband is saying, I wish she had broken the other one too. Now is that kind of relationship we have got in these days? So what I am saying that here, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abi Rawaha, now just look at that, this one thing, there's such a deep lesson in it. It's got nothing to do with husband-wife relationship, this bayan. But we can go on discussing husband-wife relationship just from this one hadith, where Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abi Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu is tearing over the concern that he must not be punished in the azab of Jahannam. So he said, well, when she asked him that, why are you crying? She said, or he asked her, why are you crying? She said, I'm crying because you are crying. Then she asked him that, why are you crying then? She says, what made me cry is that I thought of the pul sirat, that it is going to be over the Jahannam, is going to be over the fire of hell. So I am concerned that will I be able to cross it or not. That is what is making me cry. Now look at this sahabi. Now he is crying, yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Quran Sharif declared radiyallahu anhum waradwan. Now there are so many hadiths with regards to the tearing and what value these tears have in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Inshallah, if Allah ta'ala wills, we will continue. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, wabki ala khatiyatik, and tear and cry over your sins. I conclude that this crying and tearing will not bring depression. When a person cries over his sins, it brings a kind of ecstasy and joy in the heart when the tawbah is accepted. It brings coolness in that heart. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the two drops that he loves most, one is the tear that a person sheds in the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab, and the other one is in jihad. So in nasihat in 5 seconds. Now we can go on with that 5 seconds, we can make it into a 5-hour bayan. But look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's word, amlik alayka lisanak wal yasaka baytuk wabki ala khatiyati. So take this nasihat to heart, and may Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin mubarak wa sallim. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما، لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما، ہم سب کو صحت دے، عافیت دے، سلامتی دے، عزت دے، راحت دے. اے اللہ تیری معرفت نصیب فرما، تیرا یقین نصیب فرما، اے اللہ تیری ذات عالی کی محبت نصیب فرما، حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی سچی محبت نصیب فرما. سارے عالم کے اندر اے اللہ جو بھی پریشانی آ رہی ہے اس کو تیرے فضل و کرم سے دور فرما. حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امت پریشان ہے، اللہ ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. اے اللہ حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امت کے حال پر رحم فرما. اے اللہ پیلسٹائن کے اندر، چیچنیا میں، بوسنیا میں، افغانستان میں، سارے عالم کے اندر جہاں کہیں بھی مسلمان پریشان ہے، تیرے فضل و کرم سے ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. اے اللہ جب ہماری موت اور خاتمہ کا وقت آئے تو ہمارا خاتمہ ایمان پر فرما. ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطوان ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما. رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جتنے خیر کے سوال تجھ سے کیے اے اللہ وہ تمام خیر ہمیں نصیب فرما, اور جتنے شرور اور فتنوں سے پناہ مانگی ان سب فتنوں سے پناہ نصیب فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه اجمعين برحمتك يا رب.